So we're holding here in Akdama Yud Ches, on Daf Kuf Tzadi Ches in the old version. So we began discussing the inyan of Nishmas Yisrael, and that Nishmas Yisrael is very much related to a musa called the Eitz HaChaim. And the Eitz HaChaim is a chiddush in this world, and that we know that an Adam is doima to an Eitz. And began explaining that this comparison between an Adam and an Eitz is that in the same way that an Eitz has a Shoresh, has a Guf, it has Peros, it has leaves, similar to that, an Adam is also multifaceted, has many compartments. And in this world, Kuf Tzadi Ches. And in this world, an Adam can be seen as an upside-down tree. And that the roots of the Adam are not his feet, which are planted in the ground. Because an Adam comes from Shemaim. It comes from a higher place. And it comes down into this world. So that means that his Shoresh of the Adam, which is his mind, which is his heart, that's the part of him which is most connected. Because that's closer to Shemaim, Kilu. To where his Shoresh is, which is in the higher world. And we began breaking these down into Sfiras. We said that the Shoresh HaIlan, the Shoresh of the Adam, is that Bina. The place of Bina within the Adam is the place where Shoresh Nishas Yisrael is. The Guf HaIlan, which is the Eitz and the Anafin, that's the sphere of Tiferes. And the Peres HaIlan, which is Nishmas Yisrael, is the Inyan of Malchus. And that's called the Chakal Tapuchin Kadisha. The holy, the field of the holy apples. Now, this idea that an Adam is connected to the Eitz HaChaim, and he's doimed to an Ilan. And now we're seeing a concept that man is has a connection to what's called the field of holy apples. Let's try to explain what, of course, these Mishalim are telling us. So he writes here on the bottom of Kuf Tzadi Ches, we left off. V'zehu avaydasinu b'zeh ha'olam. This is our task in this world. L'halois ha'neshamais mihastei tapuchin l'makoram v'sharshem ha'olam. To elevate the neshamas in the holy field, in this field of apples, to its root in the higher place. Perish, tshuva. That just means tshuva. Everything has a root. Klai Yisrael has a very high spiritual root. And when coming into this world, we have detached from that root. Therefore, it's our role in this world. On a personal level, but also collectively, to return to our roots, to connect ourselves to our roots. And when we become connected to our roots, we reveal our true colors. We reveal, essentially, who we are. But in this world, when we come into this world, and we find ourselves very far away from home, so our job in this world is to return home. Now, what does it mean to go home, to do tshuva? So for that, there's many interpretations as to what tshuva means. V'lozen nikru ha-tzadikim mechatz dechakla. For this reason, the tzaddikim are called machatz dechakla, that they work in the fields. Oiv de sade, perish shema avdim es hasade ha'elyon alahalos perusim l'shash. That they find fruits on the floor, so to speak, and they want to return them to where they came from. Now, let's just finish the paragraph. Va'isa hasadihi siris malchus. This field is called the malchus, which is the oilam hasiya. Asiya is gematria shchina. V'harayis da'af ba'ilam hasiya shi oilam hagashmi b'yoyser sham shoychin sham or sham yisrael v'chodar. Asiya is gematria shchina, and we know that asiya is the lowest oilam. And that's to teach us that even in this lower world, this lowest of worlds, the most magusham of all the worlds, we can find the Or Hashem there. And his malchus is everywhere. There isn't a place which is void of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's continue, actually, since he's on a roll. We don't want to stop him. So therefore, if we had to sum up our role in this world, we would say, as the Zohar Kodesh says, La'okma shchinta me'afa, to raise up the shchina from the dust. The hainu lahalois nitzitz Hashem hashechenes b'chol dover gadol v'katan. To be ma'ale the nitzitz of havaya, which is present in everything in this world, small or big. Ay the asiyas kol ha'inyonim agashmi l'shem shemayim. They're doing everything which we do, all of our anyonim l'shem shemayim. K'shechoytin chas v'shalom ha'shpila nitzitz Hashem shu'achiyas ha'kdush tam yazeh adonai. When we're choyte chas v'shalom, we're mashpil, we lower that spark of Hashem which gives life to everything. Aval kishoisin ratzon Hashem, az emalin eschias hakdusha mizeh adavah l'shoresh v'zeh tikun. We're malin it to its shoresh, and that's its tikun. Let's just finish the whole thing. Val zeh anu mispadlin, that's what we say in the Yud Beis Yimei Chodesh Nisan, achar kriyas ha'asim. This is not well known, and in Ish Kodesh it's certainly not, because we don't practice this here, at least as a tzibur, that for the first 12 days of Nisan, there's an inyan to read the parsha of the Hakravas HaNasim, the Korbanos HaNasim brought to dedicate the Mishkan. And one of the Lashonos we say there is a Hirotzim, which is said, and that there, even though we don't, there are places which don't do it communally by with a Kriyas HaTorah after davening during these days. It's customary amongst many chassidim and the sfaradim to say it and to say the nesach yiratzon afterwards. And a chelik of that lashon says, yiratzon milfanecha shetoyer hayoyim v'chasach hagadol nishmasin kadishin v'chachnu kitzibar. That you should illuminate with your or and your givaldik chesed on the holy neshamas that are neschadish like birds. V'metzavtzim v'meshamchin v'metzalin al ama kadisha Yisrael. That they're metzavtzef, that they chatter like birds do, meshabchin, and they praise, and metzalin, and they're mispalul, and ama kadisha Yisrael. And then we say, Ribbono shel olam, tachnis v'sayil hanach tzipora kadisha, you should bring in, and be ma'ala, the holy birds, la'asa kadisha, to its holy place. Okay, so now he fills in here, the malchus, tabina. The Itmar Alayhu, of which it says, Ayin l'rasa lehim zu lasacha, that the eye, no eye has seen it other than you, which is me'al min stil min delo eskalyan. And the kavana is, to be ma'ala, to be machzir nishmas Yisrael, which are sheikhin el ilam ha'asiyah, to its root in the ilam ha'briya, which is the ilam of bina. It sounds simple. V'tzichin le'idah she'ein z'amidas chasidus, m'shachesh min ilam. This is not amidas chasidus. This avodah is not something which is just extra credit. Ki halacha mefereshes b'shulchan aruch in siman reish lamed aleph, all of one's kavanas should be the shem shemayim. As the lashon harambam brings, is brought in the mechaber there. The chazal say, kol maasecha yu l'shem shemayim. It's actually a siman shulchan aruch called kol maasecha l'shem shemayim. Shafid lo hayat sam avera, even if a Jew was hungry or thirsty. If he just drinks or eats to alleviate the discomfort of being hungry or thirsty, that's not meshubach. Rather, one should eat and drink in order to be able to serve Hashem. And the same thing is true with sleeping. That when one sleeps and closes his eyes and he takes rest, it's in order that he should be healthy. That he should be able to serve Hashem in a way that he's going to have a clarity. To have this kavana in all that we do. What we're seeing as he goes through this is that it's integral, not just as a halach and shulchan aruch, but the reason why it's halach and shulchan aruch is because it can be said about it that it's the neshama which fuels. It's the neshama which gives life to all the halachas entire. This halacha b'chol derechecha ta'eyu, to know Hashem. That the tachas of all the mitzvahs, at which we say, So the Pshat Chazal, why did Hashem give us so many mitzvahs? And Mefarshim explains, because everywhere which we go, everything which we do, we should be mindful of Hashem.
Is this conscious mindfulness or is this subconscious mindfulness?
It begins with conscious mindfulness, and then it goes into subconscious and unconscious, and then it becomes that you're one with that thing, that you don't have to even make any effort to think about it, because you are one with it. Whether you explain that you've become one with it, or you just reveal that you are essentially one with it, but the process is that it should become more and more natural. And this is really what we speak about, the relationship with Hashem. Relationship with Hashem is really this process. If I'm only mindful of Hashem Yisbarach at certain times of the day, there's no relationship. So when I happen to bump into Him, so then I say, hey, there you are. But if I go through my Avodas Hashem in a way that I'm revealing really more and more Avodas Hashem in my life, and then it's not just when I'm doing mitzvahs am I mindful of Hashem. Or when I eat also, when I walk around during the day, when I go to sleep, that mindfulness should hopefully be the forming of a relationship. It doesn't necessarily have to be. But the Baal Shem Tov Kodesh taught that it shouldn't be that one is just becoming more and more cognizant of his king wherever he goes, that he's very distant from him, but that as he starts to reveal Hashem more and more in his life, he starts to develop a relationship with him. That's why on the bottom he quotes here the Bnei Yisrael and the name of Rav Zusha, quoting the Pasuk of Malachim, that Eliyahu Navi said to the Navi Haba, Ad Masay Atem Poischem Ashti Hasifim. How long will you be poiseach, will you be jumping from one, from on the two Seifim? It's to say, like on both sides of the fence. So Rav Zusha in his very sharp, he was, we don't have a lot from Rav Zusha, but we have from him, we see, Chlishim said he was a very big lamdan. So the Seifim, the Pasuk is using for like fences. But Seif is a Seif in Shulchan Aruch. He says, how long will you jump over the two Seifim in Shulchan Aruch? Which Seif? Seif Aleph, which says, Shavisi Hashem Lanegdi Samit. And Seif Reish Laman Aleph, which says, Kol Masach Ayu L'Shem Shemai. How long will you just go to Shulchan Aruch and skip over these Seifim? That's what Eliyahu Navi was telling in the Vyabah. And he brings a remez here that it's not for naught, you know, that all the simanim in Shulchan Aruch were all al pi ruach hakodesh. So Sif Aleph is Shavisi Hashem Lanegdi Samit. That, of course, corresponds to Hashem, which is Aluf Shel Olam. The Shulchan Aruch begins with that halacha, which is a lashon of the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim, as if to say, what guides all halacha is Shavisi Hashem Lanegdi Samit. Like we just spoke about that. We should be cognizant of Hashem constantly. That's what drives all of Shulchan Aruch. Then other one, Kol Ma'aseich Yilu L'Shem Shamayim, is Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. Now, Reish Laman Aleph is a mispar in itself. It has to do with the secret of all the different sha'arim of the Aleph base, from Aleph to Taf and from Taf to Aleph. All the different arrangements that could be arranged with each one letter to the next is 231 arrangements. If each ice shares itself with another ice, if you combine them together, Reish Laman Aleph and Aleph. So that's Gematria Reish Lamed Beis. And Reish Lamed Beis is the Gematria of what I think we may have discussed, or we will discuss in Meretz Hashem, Ab Sag Ma Ben. The four permutations of Hashem's name combined is the Gematria Reish Lamed Beis. So let's finish him off. Alva Misha Ino Oisekein, if one doesn't do this, V'Oise Isa Asiya, Shaloi l'shem boyer, rak l'shem taiva. If we act in a way that we're detached from Hashem, and we're serving ourselves and we're not serving Him, as a hifrit chiyus helokos hashochenes ba'min hadavar ha'ho. Everything has a gili of Hashem in it, a representation of Hashem. If we use it for ourselves, we've detached it from its purpose, which is its source. Ki begashmiyas kavana so hefsik, because through our gashmiyas kavana, we've detached. The revelation of Kodesh Baruch Hu in that from Hashem, which is its purpose. And we destroy it. Scary stuff. And it becomes Nislabish and Gashmias. And since it has no revelation of Hashem on it, so it's in Golis, and it's dark, and it's detached. As a nasim yechidik hagashmi shabo, dam v'chilev. Hanoisin chiyus v'koyach la'adam. When we eat something, so it becomes part of us. So physically it becomes part of us, and there's a spiritual component which also becomes part of us. If we don't have this kavana, we eat the shem taiva, so then we're melachlech kol hamaycha b'lubish tzoya. We clothe it in the wushay tzoya. It's become detached. It becomes distant. It becomes imprisoned. As if it goes into the intestines and then out and without any hana really. We're not makabal any chiyas from it, and it's not makabal any chiyas from us. There's no relationship. Spiritually, it's the same as physically, is that it becomes wasted. That revelation of Hashem's endless light, which has a presence in this world, we cast it away into the klipos, chas v'shalom, v'nifra yavish b'lichiv, and it's dry, without any life. Ulam kasha isha yisraeli oisa kol asiyosu v'aklishma yisbarach. When we work in a way that we're doing it l'shmo, v'yodei shebesoch kol davar shrechin ar Hashem, we know that in everything which there is exists the shechin of Hashem, as a bazeh machshava ma'ale asasiyah shemachos adam ha'yitziyah shetiferes, that we're ma'ale asiyah, which is the malchus of the yitzira, which is tiferes, and that creates yichud kutshev yichud shechinah. Okay. It was good just to read everything through, because although we spoke earlier about yichud kutshev yichud shechinah, and this hakdama was dedicated, at least from its title, to Shoresh Neshamas Yisrael. But he's getting into, once again, the sinyan of Tachlis Abiyah, and along the road here, he digressed from speaking about Shoresh Nishmas Yisrael and connecting it to our Tachlis in this world, of which he threw out some lines like La'ukma Shechinta Me'afra, right, to raise up the Shechina from the dust, L'shonos of Tshuva. We spoke about, without losing focus, about the Chakos Tapuchin Kadishin, why Tzadikim are called Mechatzei Chakla, they're working in the field. They're all sugyas, bifnei atzmo. It's very hard to wrap up this inyan. And then he threw in this inyan of Yud Beis Nesim, which I don't know if it really had to be there. But anyways, let's try to make something out of this, because it seems like there's a lot, and a lot was challenged here. What we're seeing is that a lot of the work which we have to do in this world connects to this concept called Shechina. And Shechina is certainly different than Kodesh Baruch Hu, and our Avoda is to be Miyachid, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte. This idea of being La'ok Meshechinte Mi'afra, of raising up the Shechina from the dust, and what that implies, and how it relates to our Kavanas acting the Shem Shemayim. So let's try to discuss a little bit what it means, Shechina. What does it mean, Shechina? Chazal tell us that when Moshe came to the Sneh, why did Hashem appear to Moshe in the Sneh when he could have appeared to Moshe in any other form? So the Medrash brings out that the Sneh is considered to be like the lowest, one of the lowest creations of Hashem. A very lowly creation. And Hashem Yisbarach wanted to teach Moshe that even in the Sneh, there resides the Shechinas Hashem. And Memela, there's nowhere in the world, the less asset panamine, there is no place, ein makom b'li shechina. That's Lashon HaMedrash. Ein makom b'li shechina. The Medrash is implying something very deep. And that we think, we're taught to think, that the revelation that Hashem revealed to Moshe by the Sneh was like this heavenly light which came from Shemayim, and it consumed the Sneh, and so then Moshe was now beholding this fiery image of this great light which came down from Shemayim. That's not what the Medrash is saying. The Medrash is saying is that the Shechina itself, or the piece of the Shechina which has to do with the Sneh, became revealed to Moshe. You understand the difference? This was the Elokus of the Sneh. This wasn't like the highest gilui of light which could fathomably imaginable that came down and revealed itself to Moshe. That's not what happened. Hashem revealed to Moshe the life source of the Sneh. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're looking hard to find me, I want you to know that I could be found everywhere. I could be found everywhere in this world.
Just remove the physical aspect of this now and let the inner be revealed.
Right. That was the lesson and why he revealed himself to Moshe. Because how did he reveal to himself to Moshe in a diamond or on the Yam or in a place where you would have expected Kutcher Bichu to be? That wouldn't have been the Chiddush that Hashem wanted to teach Moshe. He was teaching him an important lesson because Moshe spent his whole life searching for Hashem. And this was the moment which changed Moshe's life because now he understood from the Sneh who it is that Hashem Yisbarach is. And Chazal say that Moshe received a new neshama by the Sneh. Because a person reveals new neshama when he has deeper and higher understanding of who Kutcher Bichu is. And it was this lesson that Hashem taught Moshe here by the Sneh, which was the ingredient and the limud which Moshe Rabbeinu needed to go to Paro and to take Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Because you can imagine that if the Sneh in a midbar is the lowest revelation of Kutcher Bichu that there is, Alachas Kama Makama is Paro in the world of people. That if there's anyone in the world who is most void of Kutcher Bichu, of Hashem Yisbarach, in this lower world, it's certainly Paro. But here, when Hashem Yisbarach was teaching Moshe that I can be found in the Sneh, I want you to know that I can be found in the house of Paro also. And this is the chizik that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be able to complete the shlichas. That he shouldn't think that by going into the house of Paro, he's going farther away from Kutcher Bichu. And he's going deeper into the klipos, deeper into the darkness, in which case, now he's going to have to act on his own. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading with Hashem Yisbarach, saying, don't let me do this on my own. And Hashem Yisbarach is teaching Moshe by the Sneh. This is why Hashem keeps getting frustrated with Moshe, is that he's telling him, when you're going to go there, I'm going to be there with you. Not that I have to go with you. I'm going to already be there with you. But in the same way, you wouldn't have expected that a lowly, dirty Sneh could have Gila Shechina, that there could be a presence of me there. I want you to know that everything which there is, everywhere where you go, and everywhere where you think that I'm not, I am still there. So it really changes our perception of this whole interaction by the Shechina with Moshe by the Sneh, and that this was like a Rebbe teaching the Talmud what he needs to know before embarking on his journey, what his mission is going to be. Had Hashem not said any words to Moshe, just the sheer fact that Hashem revealed himself by the Sneh was already the limud. More than what he taught Moshe, what he told Moshe, the revelation of the Shechina by the Sneh was exactly Moshe needed. So if we wanted to describe what Shechina is, and it's hard to discuss what Shechina is without talking about how the Rambam defines Shechina, is that we could say that Shechina means that even in the lowest places where there is no revelation of Hashem, Hashem can be found there. Now the way that the Rambam defines Shechina, and this is, of course, Rambam didn't have, he wasn't privy to the Sodas HaTorah, but even what he says is very clear. You can't discount the Rambam and say that he's a Sheh Rambam. Because he didn't have and understand, everything the Rambam says is not only true api halacha, the halachic definition of Shechina, but everything that he says also lines up in Pnimis HaTorah as well. The Rambam writes that Shechina, that when Chazal used the word Shechina, Shechina means Hashkachas Hashem. Hashem is having Hashkacha in this world. Alternatively, says the Rambam, or Shechina can mean a light of Hashem. A presence of Hashem. It's called the light of Hashem. Now, the Noda Yehuda says that really both are true. It's really both. But let's try to understand for a moment what it means, Shechina. It's the presence of Hashem, a light of Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem. So, Hashkachas Hashem means that Hashem can be found there even though you can't find it. Right? What do you mean Hashkacha? Hashkacha means that you don't see me, but I see you. That Hashem is Mashkiach there. Right? That can mean that either he's Mashkiach from a distance, that he sees you from a distance, or he sees you because he's right there. But it means that even when a place where Hashem is concealed, he's still mashgiach on you. That's what Chazal say by the Kosa Maravi, lo'olam lo'izaza shechina mikos Maravi. The shechina not left the Kosa. So Chazal say about the Kosa, mashgiach mina chalonais, metis mina charakin. That Kosh Baruch Hu is peering through his windows and he's still looking at us. From where? From the Kosa. Now you can understand that to mean that the Kaisel is the place in this world that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, and when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was an actual presence of Hashem Yisparach in this world. Now that Hashem Yisparach is not there, Kilu, that he's not there, Kilu, there's still the presence of the Shekhinah, which is by the Kaisel, from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still Mashkiach on everything in this world. That although when you came to the Beis HaMikdash, you were able to behold the Ribbono Shel Olam, you were able to see the Elokus in this world, Shekhinah means that although you can't see me, and I'm not interacting with you in a way where, like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, that when a Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't have to believe that there was a Ribbono Shel Olam. He saw, he felt. It was like, just like I see this air conditioner, that it's there and it's real. When you would come to the Beis HaMikdash, you'd be able to see with your eyes, feel with your whole being that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. What is Shekhinah there for? Shekhinah means that, it even means that although you can't see me, I still see you, and I'm still real, and I'm still here. That's what it means, like, let's say, Hashkachas Hashem Elavir. Alternatively, Shekhinah can mean Or of Hashem. Or is the Emsai, by which everything can be seen. In the Chayshach, nothing can be seen. So Or, if we want to define what Or is, Or means revelation. Everything becomes revealed through the light. Everything becomes revealed through the light. Yet Or itself is also something which exists. So therefore, the part of Hashem, Kevyachol, which causes things to become revealed, is called the Shekhinah. There's a lot in this in you. We say about the Shekhinah Kedoshah that Hashem wants that the Iker Shekhinah should be Batachtayne. The Iker Shekhinah resides and should reside in the lowest of world. The reason why that is because, as we said before, that Hashem Yisrael wants to reveal that even in the place where you would say about it that there's no Elokus, that there's Elokus there. So you could say about Kutcher Bichu and Shekhinah, that Kutcher Bichu means the revelation of Hashem where you see very clearly this is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Shekhinah means the revelation of Hashem in that place where you would say about it that it's the most void, that it came out, that there is nothing there of Hashem Yisbach, that Hashem is still there too. And when you do that, then you understand what it means, Yichud Kutcher Bichu Shekhinah. It means connecting in a way, revealing in a way, Hashem Yisbach, that between the highest place of where you see very clearly that Hashem is there, the highest Kedusha, and the lowest place where you would think that there is no Kutcher Bichu there, when you combine those two things together, what you're showing is that everything in between is also Kutcher Bichu. Everything is Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'm not doing justice in talking about this, and we spoke about it a lot before, and it's even the thought of talking about this is very tiring in one sitting. So I just want to let's talk about briefly for a moment what it means that everything which we do, we should reveal that there's Hashem there. Yeah.
I understand Bishlomo, if you say that Shekhinah is revelation.
Yeah.
So I can understand the Lashon that the Shekhinah can be removed because something can be less apparent.
Yeah.
How do we understand the Shekhinah was never removed from the Kosel Maravi? In other words, it was removed from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not just revelation, but it's some sort of presence of Hashem.
That's a hidden presence of Hashem. You can't. You don't go to the Kaisel and you see Hashem's presence in the Kaisel. It's a hidden presence of Hashem.
Right.
At the Kaisel.
But everything has a presence of Hashem.
Everything.
So how can something be removed? How can that be removed?
Okay. So, it's exhausting to try to talk about this right now. But just if I could just say it in two sentences, I would say like this. Shekhinah is a relative term. Shekhinah really means that relative to what, to something which is higher than it, the opposite of that is called Shekhinah. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so there was revealed Shekhinah. Okay, there was revealed Shekhinah. Now, the lowest part of that Gilui of the Beis HaMikdash is still present in the Kriyas HaMaravi, which means that there's a Nekuda Ketan of the Beis HaMikdash which is still present. And the lowest level of something is called its Shekhinah. Now that Shekhinah also has a Shekhinah, because Shekhinah always means relative to. So now, the presence of Hashem in this world, in comparison to the Kriyas HaMaravi, is also called Shekhinah. And that means that although there are places in the world where there is no presence of Hashem, yeah? So Shekhinah means that even there, there's still a presence. So therefore, Shekhinah can be understood as the lowest revelation, the lowest part of the revelation of what was. And it's coming to say that even in this lowest place, there's still a revelation. So therefore, everything really has a Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah just means that even that makom, that nakuda of what that thing is, which is its lowest revelation, there's still a revelation there. And when the higher part is nostalgic, so what's left is that. And that says, and that part, which is its lowest part, doesn't go away, and it says about it, this is still here.
Can we understand it like this? Everything in this world is a microcosm of the spheres. Shekhinah is Malchus.
Right.
So wherever you go, if everything is basically, if you look into the, like, with spiritual glasses, you'll see the DNA called spheres. So wherever you are, the lowest thing is Malchus, which is Shekhinah.
That's right.
Additionally, Shekhinah not only has the property of being the lowest, it also has the property of being detached, because Malchus can be detached.
That's right.
So if you go anywhere, the lowest thing is Shekhinah, but it's also, so to speak, detached.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is to sort of bring it back up.
That's right.
And so when you look at something physical and call it out for what it is, which is just hidden spiritual, you are now moving it back up to the higher part, which is Tiferes, and saying, yeah, I it looks like it's Mitzrayim.
That's right.
But what's really is Hashem. And that, it's in a way we have like laser beams for intentions that we can theoretically just stare at something and sort of melt away the physical and then release the spiritual and connect it back up.
That's right. Very good. That's what we're trying to just explain, is like the understanding of the sphere of the Malchus. So that's what we're trying to do without using these terms. Charlie brought it in to talk about it, the Malchus. That's what it is. The understanding of what Malchus is, as is relevant to the spheres, is your understanding of Shekhinah. It's something which is Bachutz, and our goal is to take that which is Bachutz and put it Bifnim.
Right.
But to know that even if you put it Bifnim, it could still be Bachutz. It could still be Bachutz. It could be Bachutz and Bifnim simultaneously. And a lot of what we do in this world, when we eat, when we drink, when we talk, and we're connected to Hashem, that's all done obviously on a very spiritual level. We don't see how it is that when we eat these things that, you know, we're connecting it and doing things like that. It's something which is it's a primistic avoida, it's a spiritual avoida. But the job is that everything which is detached should become attached. And that ties into the tshuva we spoke about before. But to go through the sugya in a matter of, we're already out of time, it could be a very lengthy subject. We could say the words, but it's really part of what we're supposed to do in this world is that we toil in understanding what Shekhinah means. It's not like we could just sit here and be like, okay, let me just tell you the words. That's really what the avoda is. The avoda is that you could say the words, but then what we need to do is to be doyrish Hashem, and that we should have deeper and deeper understanding of Shekhinah, which is why the term is so relative. It's hard to explain something relative. It's just that we should understand more and more through our avoda. Hashem should gift us with the understanding of what Shekhinah means. Because more than we could say about it, it's really to experience it and to understand it, because the whole Indian of Shekhinah is a big secret, what it is. It's not something which could be confined to the physical properties of this world.
Is it parallel to Shekhinah, the Chalal? Is that a parallel to the Shekhinah?
Yeah. It's the void. It's not called Chutz from Hashem, right? So we have to be Megal, that even the Chalal is part of Hashem.
Right.
Now, even though you don't see that Hashem is there, no. Less Hasepanaminai, still there.
Right.
But that's a secret. You can't say about something which is there that it's not there also. That's not something which a person understands with his mind. It's something which he understands with his neshama.
Yeah.
It's a neshama tikka hasaga. So we just it's easier to tell, to give over the sugya in a way where it makes no sense than to try to talk about it. So, but that's our vote. To be Doyvish Hashem.
Nesis Yisrael is also referred to as the Shekhinah.
Yeah.
Has that fit in?
Yeah, because we are the revelation of Hashem in this world. We are the revelation of Hashem. If we wanted to keep it simple, we'd say Shekhinah means revelation of Hashem, to reveal Hashem. Knesset Yisrael is the greatest revelation of Hashem.
Our actions are the revelation. Oh no, our essence is the revelation of Hashem.
Yeah.
And is the detached part the Shelga Kamimal?
The detached part is, yes, is that Hashem gives each and every Jew a part of himself where he says, this is you and it's not me. Right? So we have to show that even that part of the Jew, which is not him, is really him. That's why, on the one hand, Nishpat Yisrael is the greatest revelation, but it can also be the most dangerous. Because since we're a piece of Hashem, And that's a piece of Hashem that Hashem gives to us. And as if Hashem says, you're on your own. You, Klal Yisrael, you are very holy. You have a piece of me. You can go and do whatever you want because you'll always be connected to piece of godliness. In our humility, we say to Hashem, this Kedusha which you've gifted us and set to us, this is yours. We say about that, no, this is you. It's not. That's called tshuva. That's why the greatest tshuva takes place with Knesset Yisrael, because when we, who you could say about Knesset Yisrael, that in the world of Kedusha, we may be even the biggest detachment from Hashem, if that makes any sense, we say about this, no, we are the greatest revelation of who you are, and we're the closest thing to you, and the most one with you than anything. Sorry if that makes no sense, but that's what it means.
How? That's the idea of being lifting up these sparks, which is constantly calling things that seem secular spiritual. So it's right. That's what connects this parrot, right? When you say my eating now is ruchnius, what you're doing is now dragging. Can you say you're dragging Shechina to fat? Like you're constantly looking around for the snaz of life, and you're constantly calling it out for what it really is, which is a revelation of Hashem.
Right, that's right. When you're done with something, you hope that by the end of what you're done with that thing, that there's, even though you can't see with your eyes, that there's a chesima pavai on that thing.
Right.
That whatever you come in contact with, that when you walk away with it, in the spiritual worlds, they see about that now, that you revealed that there's a havaya's name on that thing, that this belongs to him. And of course, we spoke about being malani tzaitzes, which is all similar to this idea. But what we want to do in this world is to show that Hashem is everything. That really everything is Hashem is. We want to reveal that first, whatever it was before we were created, we want the world to know that that's still that. That way nothing has changed. Despite all that, this is in this world. And that's our mission in this world. To be Megala, that even where there's no Him, He's still there. That's what Hashem wants. That's called Hashem's Achdus. That He should reveal His oneness in this world. And we've been charged with that mission. We will succeed in that, but this is how we live our life. Yom Liyom being Megalim Orach, Bechon Esfron.
After you hit stop, I'll